Hello, I'm Harry Bucknell. Thank you for downloading Human Not Heroic, a new podcast from the British Limbless Ex-Servicemen's Association, BLESMA, for limbless veterans. Welcome to Human Not Heroic. All too often, the latter-day image of the limbless or vision-impaired veteran is of Superman or Wonder Woman, defying the odds, rowing the Atlantic with one arm, heaving up mountains legless, or running marathons without sight. But what is the reality, the everyday, and how is a simple task like going round the corner to buy a loaf of bread different for an amputee? My guest in this first programme is Neil Heritage, who lost both his legs above the knee in 2004 at the age of 24, when he fell victim to a suicide bomber while serving in Iraq with the Royal Signals. Since, Neil has rowed, climbed, dived, kayaked, and run across the world. I expected to meet a man mountain, his home littered with adventure kit and equipment, him chewing on Kendall mint cake and supping Lancashire hot pot. The reality was very different, as I learnt talking to him over a cup of tea.
No one day is the same, even today.
Yeah, so I think, you know, going back to the early days, one of the issues you have as an amputee, as you're, over the first few years, your legs change in shape, what's left of your legs changes very, very regularly and very quickly. The prosthetics are cast and fit to an exact shape of your legs, so those two things combined means you get a good fitting limb for a period of time. Then you get activity and make progress. Then it doesn't fit. Then there's the process of remaking it, which can take, you know, a couple of months. I mean, if you're fortunate or longer, you're at a very busy limb centre. And then during that period, you get this kind of, you know, go backwards a little bit. So it's very, very frustrating in those early days where it kind of feels very stop, start and different.
Why do you have new limbs made? Are you then back in a wheelchair, or are you struggling on with the ones you've caught, or
a bit of both? So certainly for me, the early days were predominantly wheelchair with trying to learn to walk in between, and then over time become less and less reliant and more able to wear legs for longer periods. So very, very high energy use as a double above knee amputee.
The motion of walking is really training each e-cig, is it?
Yeah, the prosthetics are phenomenal, so they do look much more natural than that, but it's just hard work, you know, and it's energy sort of consuming as well, so you do end up with this fatigue, particularly in those early parts, just getting around something like the rehab center. It's too much to do it all day, and then you kind of build up over time and eventually you're using them as, you know, full time. Always liked the idea of having, you know, living about the wheelchair without any kind of adaptations. But, you know, the compromise to that is my house is laid out very, very access friendly. So, you know, it's flat entrances in the other house. You know, I've managed
to do wide big doors wide. Yeah, there's not lots of bugs and things around.
Do you like rugs?
I'm fine without them. Yeah.
As we all get into the final straight of life, you have to accept that there are some changes. You had to make those changes. And just tell me, what do you think, what is the mobility course ahead for you?
So I think for me, in my mind, you know, I want to stay on prosthetics and active as long as possible. But, you know, also I know, you know, other health things might come into play as I get older, and that might not be possible. So yeah, when we talk about the house, you could use a wheelchair in here, no problem. You know, I've got a downstairs bathroom, my bedroom's now downstairs, so it feels very future proofed here if that is what happens.
And I feel that, like all of us, I mean, when you get older and you have a body strength goes and you can't get out of the bath, you've got other issues, because, you know, as you say, to move on these prosthetic limbs requires a huge amount of effort and energy. And come day when that is that a bridge you would just say, well, we'll have to cross when we get there?
I think so. I mean, in my mind, if I keep doing it every day, then you know that pushes it back as
after 21 years, you think you've got the hang of it by now?
I've got the hang of it, but I'm definitely not as mobile as I was 5 years ago,
really?
and I think that's, you know, a bit of a lifestyle change.
The perception is that, you know, within weeks of losing your limbs, you're then put into it and you're into heartbreak or recovery, and then it's a hey, process off you go. But it is never, you can never take that for granted again.
Yeah, no, actually, look, and myself and probably almost all amputees, I know there's always another operation that's kind of comes up, you know, after the initial stuff. You know, I've had two or three over 20 years, and that, you know, really does put you back to
what it could you mean. Your stump, which is a really key part of the whole system, I suppose, in a way, that's constantly prone to ulceration, and it's very tender.
I'm very lucky, actually. My skin tends to hold up very well. I do get sores and bits from time to time, but nothing really serious. I've been very lucky, you know, nothing so serious that's kind of put me out of action for long as well.
But in amongst all that, you could have put a brave face on that every day. And there must be times when you think, crikey, I really don't see ideas, but dad's got to go on.
Yeah, I think, you know, now the kids are growing up, it's not so much for the kids, but yeah, when they're young, they've got to go out and do stuff, you know. And, you know, something we haven't talked about, you know, my marriage broke down not long after I was injured. And so, you know, I was a single dad for most of the time they grew up.
That is a considerable challenge.
Yeah, I mean, and the way we worked it is they lived with me for half the time and they lived with their mum for half the time. So I was, you know, really kind of full time when I had them, you know, alongside work, you know, like everyone else, alongside working. But, you know, you've got to get out with kids and do things.
Dating card has actually been easy.
Yeah, I didn't do much of it. Well, it's as simply as that, don't
it? But at, you know, at that time of life when you want to, that is another frustration. How do you get around that?
I think my mindset at that time was, you know, I'm going to focus on the kids for the next, you know, 10 years or whatever it's going to be until they're kind of, you know, don't need me too much, and then we'll see where things go. I'd be lying if I said it doesn't affect your confidence. Of course it does. You know, it's it's another thing to get around. And, you know, that's going to be difficult for all amputees who are in that situation, you know, particularly, you know, soldiers. A lot of them be very young when they,
yeah.
But when they're injured. So a lot of BLESMA members have gone through that experience of, you know, not being married at the stage they're injured and then, you know, finding someone. So, that is definitely more challenging because of your confidence than it is perhaps the reality of it.
How do you find dancing?
So your dad does, if you're pretty, has a pretty head in that. Yeah, walking doesn't always go well done, you know. You're from worse. You're not on Strictly this year.
We're not going to Strictly anytime soon, though. But yeah, you say walking is not always easy. What are our pitfalls? Is it you get your leg caught in something and then you suddenly find you're also embarrassed? You've got to.
I think with the technology that the legs have now and just how I've done it, I very barely fall over now. Which
but if you snore over, right, it's not easy to get up. Is it some creepy?
I think I had so much practice in the eyes
that.
You know, I can get up fine. I think, if there are problems getting about, it's because something hurts rather than because I've fallen over something. Is that
and yet yeah, you still got to go. You can't say, I'm sorry, I didn't feel like it today.
Yeah, you've still got to get in with life and. You know, herself, you know, recently got married again, and we go out and do things, and then it's just part of it.
You have gone out to do things, you more than gone out to do things, but looking ahead, as we all get into our twilight years, you could keep going all the way through. How's your diet been affected by it? I mean, you presumably have to have a very high protein diet. I'm looking at your gym physique there.
Does that much require? I think it was definitely a phase in my life where I really enjoyed training. I'm past that.
Yeah.
I'm really aware that I need to keep keep on top of it. Otherwise, the mobility kind of goes with it. I can't really let it slide to the extent where, you know, I put on a lot of weight or I haven't walked enough that you know, you kind of lose the ability to.
Do you really try and do 10,000 steps a day or?
Not necessarily the distance. I like to make sure I have my legs on pretty much for the day, every day. You know, I like to get out a few times and do a reasonable walk. It, you know, it might not be miles and miles, but actually just getting out and doing, you know, a mile and a half is a pretty significant event and, you know, is enough to keep on top of it, I think.
How long does it take the limbs off or on off?
They're pretty quick. They're just, they're held on by suction. So I just have a press a button and the thing comes off. And then the other thing apart from that is, a roller silicone sleeve on to my leg. So that kind of is what creates the suction in between the prosthetic and that silicone sleeve. So it's probably 5 minutes to put them on, 30 seconds to take them off. It's pretty, pretty quick.
You've done a huge amount for the limbless community, or involved with many charities. You're a trustee of Best Man for the last 2 years, and will be for some time going forward. You have a great experience in that sector because, unlike it or not, you're parachuted into it involuntarily. How do you see it's changed in the last 30 years? Things have changed
in the care for our limbless veterans.
And one of the things I done early on was I went on an overseas trip with Blesma, and that, you know, I think when you're telling people that, it says, oh, you're off on holiday kind of thing. And it's like, actually the idea of going overseas as an amputee and, you know, trying to, you know, do activity and interview people and get about in an unfamiliar environment and, you know, even just going on a plane and, you know, all the complications with prosthetics that led to, actually doing that with the safety net of the charity, you know, made it feel kind of possible that I could then, you know, take my family on holiday. I mean, you know, whatever it might be. So,
but anything that we take as normal, you've got to think about you. That must be incredibly frustrating in an issue, isn't it?
Yeah, the first time you've done things, it's daunting. You know, I say it might be everyday things, but you know, the first time you've gone to London and gone on the underground as an amputee, it's, you know, escalators are fine. I don't mind the escalators. I don't like the stations that don't have just plenty of especially if you've got a suitcase or something up and down. But I think once you've kind of done it once, it becomes possible, you know, and then you can build it into your life. And I think, you know, beyond that, with the, you know, as things progressed, it was having that community and other people meeting. You know, I don't know anybody in my area that's a double above knee amputee and trying to do new activities and things. So meeting other members that were perhaps trying different sports or hobbies, you know, things that I was sort of looking for at that time. So I met lots of people doing various things.
But you achieved many firsts. So you're the first double amputee to have scaled the Matterhorn and things like that. But that, if you go back to the process of military adventure training, is to test the service man or woman, to put them, so when come a crunch, they know what their physical ability is. The amputee, that also is a very important thing because it gives you confidence.
Yeah, I think you get they get those same effects. Exactly, it gives you, you know, confidence, sense of achievement. I was, you know, certainly really interested in things that hadn't been done by, you know, people with my disability, and, you know, not because I wanted to say I was the first person to do it, but because I wanted to say, you know, what's possible, what, you know, what can I do? Where are those?
It's like a full breeze. It's non-stop. And even now, you must have, you know, physiotherapists you see and occupational therapists who talk to and advise you. Does that all come? Does Best Man drive that for you, or do you?
So I don't really. So I see. I go to the prosthetic centre when I need to.
And where's that here?
That's in Bournemouth Hospital. And then I'll see the prosthetist. And if I had any issues, that would be the place that I could, you know, find some support.
And is it, but your injuries but were sustained as a result of an explosion. That's not a routine in Bournemouth Hospital, I would imagine.
No, I do see a few other Blizzard members there actually. So from time to time, but no, there's the majority of amputees obviously aren't military.
No.
So.
But they were. Obviously not there. But you talk about the difference in having being lower leg amputee and an above the knee amputee. Is it? I mean. I'm sure you did. There's no competition about it, but there must be the answer. Well,
am I massively jealous of Bologna? It says yes, I had.
I didn't think many would understand the walking thing is never going. It might look easy, but actually every step could be suddenly down you go.
Yeah, I think. I mean, that was definitely my experience in the early days. But I think it is almost. It's not like walking before, but it's almost.
Looking at you haven't broken your nose yet. You can see you have all your teeth. So you're obviously you're managing quite well. You keep going. That's it. But
yeah.
But it must be. Does it play on your mind? I think.
No, not too much about falling over. I don't think. It happens occasionally now. It used to happen a lot. I've not broken them from falling over, but I've had sort of where things go wrong. So I don't have another set of legs like this, but I do have a kind of short set of legs.
I'll draw the legs we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, but I've got those, and then they're kind of, I would use them anyway if I was going climbing or something like that, or some really difficult terrain, I'd probably use them. So, I have got a backup to the high tech stuff.
Other times actually it's an advantage not to have.
If there is, I've not found that.
If there was any upside to losing both your legs, your limbs, is it, you can do it, yeah, there's a cue with this. Would you say, was there anything where you would say that?
I think I've had opportunities that I just wouldn't have had, and I think that's as much as being a wounded veteran, it's given me those opportunities and the things we've not talked a lot about, but things like the rowing, none of that would have happened, the people I'm meeting, lots has come out of this that, just wouldn't have been in my life or wouldn't have, wouldn't have happened for me. So
it's rather strange. Do you find people sort of almost brack your times to you that they don't want to try and engage because it's awkward?
I don't notice it. I think, and I don't notice people looking at me anymore. And I know people that aren't all with me all the time, I point out, that, really staring, that's rude, and it doesn't bother me at all, it's like, yeah, people want to ask me, I'm happy, to speak to people, and it's normally kids, if anyone asks, it'll normally be kids that also ask,
But these things are quite, these are quite dull things, because the fashion is that you can have all sorts of things, blazing down the side. Why did you go for the ritzy option, or the go-fast option?
I don't know, I think when I go into meetings and things, I think I don't want to learn.
No, suppose you put them all the wrong way around, is that?
No, I wouldn't be able to.
It wouldn't work, they would go the wrong way.
No, the top bits are too different.
All right.
But that would, I put the trainers on the long feet before, that definitely happened.
Oh, yeah. I even with both legs and like that too, actually. That might make it just for slightly, if you've got the wrong ones all the way around, you don't wear our shoes so much, do you?
So every time I change my shoes, they have to be lined up to my leg. So I have got a set of sort of dress shoes that I wear for when I need to wear a suit. And that is normally someone's wedding, a black tie. I wouldn't, I tend to wear shorts and most of the time.
But the shorts are more practical rather than the trousers, isn't it?
Yeah, they just flow a bit better. It makes the legs sort of flow a little bit better with the shorts on, seems a bit less restrictive, and I find it a bit easier.
I mean, presumably also the limbs, was it? You must have wear and tear the limb, didn't you? I mean,
yeah, lost about 6 years, so they kind of
If you're burying it, is that it?
Yeah, they go away each year for a service. So, they give me exactly the same one, download my computer program onto it, and then I borrow. A set the same, or might go away for a month or whatever. So I think on the whole, I've been, throughout my experience, been pretty upbeat. I'm not saying there hasn't been bad days, but I think I started with the I should definitely be dead kind of position, which is
India after that's a good one.
Yeah, so as all our owners, I saw the kids grow up, and all the rest of it that maybe I wouldn't have got. So that's kind of always been my mindset. But yeah, is there time to? I'm sat there, crisis. This is hard work when it should be,
But it is. I mean, you say it's hard work, but it is generally it's a graft. I mean, it just getting around is a graft, because you got the whole physical action and movement in its own right is just, it's an effort.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about the challenges. One of the hardest things I did was take the kids to Florida.
Just day after day around those big parks, and I came back and there was almost no skin left on. You're in a different country doing something with the kids, so you can't usually.
How do you explain to your children that dad is having a hard day today? He's really not really, he's exhausted, but they didn't understand that, did they?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't so young at the time, but you hide it, I guess, and I probably would still do that now. Hide it and just carry on,
Do you get very tired at the end of the day?
No, I don't think especially, I don't think I'm extra tired than other people who are up and working and doing things. I feel on par. I think if we, had days and days of walking, I'd have more effects than you, for example, but I think I'm a bit on par with most people.
We move on. We all leave the armed forces and go on and find different lives. But in November, we have Armistice Day coming up. What would you be thinking about on November Sunday when the 2 minute silence?
Yeah, so I always go to the local service in Poole, and someone asked me, are you thinking about what happened to you? And it's like, no, definitely not. It's thinking about what happened to the other people, that didn't get to come home, and that's what will be on my mind during that time.
Neil Hodges, thank you very much for being human, not heroic, but heroic and remarkable. Thank you so much.
And my thanks once again to Neil Heritage for being my guest on the podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this programme, would like to learn more about BLESMA, the vital work the charity undertakes supporting limbs veterans, or to make a donation, please visit blesma.org. Do join us next month for another edition of Human Not Heroic. Meantime, from me, Harry Bucknell, thank you for listening and farewell. With studio editing by Michael Stilianu, this has been a Gamekeeper production for BLESMA.
Presumably you must be quite glad you're not Mark Ormerod, because he got pissed on by a baby, and it's all on film.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, you had a rough time, yeah.